Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast number 107. I'm your host, Cheapy D in Tokyo, Japan.
And I'm Wombat, and I'm spending my Valentine's Day evening with Cheapy D instead of a woman in black fishnets.
Really?
So, you know, whatever.
I thought Mrs. Wombat had the flu or something. She wears black fishnets when she's sick in bed with the flu.
Okay, so yeah, she does have the flu. Oh. But still.
Right. No, I was gonna ask you what you were doing for Valentine's Day, and then I realized that this is Valentine's Day right now for you.
Yeah, I'm spending it with you. I'm not a very popular man in this house right
well,
now.
Well, I will. I'm probably not either.
No, you're probably less popular than me.
Yes. Well, Wombat, I will try to show you a lot of love this episode to make up for the fact that you're sacrificing your Valentine's Day.
Great. The reach around her around the globe.
Hey, you'll take what you can get. Don't act like you won't.
Some days.
Well, I had a real Valentine's Day. Because
that's phenomenal. Tell me about your real one, since I don't get one.
You gotta live vicariously through me. So pretend like
whatever. Tell me about your Giri Choco.
Hey, stop reading about all my outline, all my secrets. Well, you know,
this is what you get when you screw with me.
We talked about Valentine's Day, I think, last year, and how it's different in Japan than elsewhere, or at least different than in America. In Japan, it's on the woman to provide the goodies. And I don't mean like the sexual goodies. I mean like buy
candy,
chocolate and stuff.
I do remember this from last year.
Yeah, this is a holiday that's focused on the women to provide. So last weekend, I had to go with Mrs. Cheapy. We went to Ginza, and she had to buy Giri Choco, which means obligation chocolate. Because not only are the women supposed to buy stuff for their boyfriends or husbands, whatever, they have to buy it for like the men.
Wait, she has to buy candy for her husband and her boyfriend?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't really like chocolates, but her boyfriend is really into it. No, but she has to buy chocolate for the men in her office, her people that she works with. That's the obligation chocolate. So
I don't know if that would fly in this country.
It's weird, right? It's a little, it seems sexist a little, but then what happened? There's a holiday called White Day, which is weird.
Which we also spoke about last year.
Which is the opposite, where the men have to return the favor and buy the chocolate for the women.
Yeah.
So we went to Ginza last weekend, and we went to all the department stores. That Ginza's like a really fancy shopping district. It's like Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue in New York. And we went, all the fancy department stores have a whole chocolate section. They have like a special floor where you can go, and there's like 20 different chocolate companies you could buy chocolate from. So I was basically like the only guy there with with my wife while she was picking out all the chocolate. So it was pretty funny because I was like, a foot taller than anybody there. But the best part about going to Ginza was they have an Apple store in Ginza. And if you remember last week, I told you how my iPod broke and that I was, lost without my iPod. Mm-hmm. So Mrs. Cheapy bought me an iPod Touch because she never bought me a birthday present last year. So I managed to finagle an iPod Touch out of her. And I have to say, it's so amazing.
Is it the best thing you've ever had?
It's not the best thing that I've ever had, but it's the best iPod I've ever had. It's just, it's basically like a tease for the iPhone, because basically it's just an iPhone without the phone.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea, I thought.
So it's supposed to hold me over. It's going to hold me over until the iPhone comes out here. And I just got the 8 GB one, the cheapest one,
because
I want to get an iPhone when it comes out. But it's just amazing because, not only is the touch interface, not only does that work really well, but all the Wi-Fi enabled stuff, like the browser and the mail apps and the maps and stuff, it works perfectly. It's like the best browser I've ever used on a handheld anything. Like it's actually functional. You can surf websites and
Now, can you do any of this stuff on your phone currently?
No, it's weird. Like the phones in Japan, while they're everyone talks about how advanced they are, they're not really set up for web surfing. There's like a separate websites set up for phones here, and they're just like really shells of websites. They're not really like can't really surf actual websites. So this, I mean, I think that this kicks the shit out of any of these Japanese cell phones. I mean, even though this is just the touch, you know, it's not actually a phone, but I think when the iPhone does come out here, it'll do very well. And now I can't wait. And of course, everybody's sending me, when I talked about how my iPod broke, all the Zune fans were like, oh, you got to get a Zune. You got to get a Zune. But I don't need to get a Zune.
You get laughed at enough.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if they even sell those there. And they don't work with Macs anyway, and I'm a Mac guy now. So
you're a Big Mac.
I'm the Big Mac, baby. And we went out for steak dinner last night to celebrate Valentine's Day.
One steak and you shared it?
No.
Steak dinner?
I don't get it.
I've never been.
Of course not. Mrs. Cheapy paid for it because it's Valentine's Day, and I had a delicious steak. We went to the Oregon Bar and Grill, and it's in,
what kind of steak?
It was American steak, actually. Meyer Agnes beef, I think it was called.
Well, what's the cut? Porterhouse, no, ribeye.
I believe T-bone. It was a sirloin. I'm not even sure. I forgot. It was $70.
Why would you? Someone like you shouldn't be allowed to order a steak.
It was $70, by the way. That's an expensive.
That's
steak.
Ridiculous. It better not have been. What was it? How are we talking?
It was a 12 ounce.
10 ounce. 12 ounce. 12 ounce. 12 ounce sirloin.
I believe so.
Okay.
I like a filet personally, but they didn't have that.
They didn't have a filet? What kind of steak?
Because it's like
this?
A weird thing. I don't know. Anyway, Wombat, enough Valentine's Day.
I'm a ribeye man personally.
Yeah. I did eat I also got donuts too for Valentine's Day, and I just ate two of them for breakfast.
Do you know what cut of donut you had?
Yes, it was the chocolate cut.
Excellent.
It was actually from the donut plant. They have those in New York, right? I think it's supposedly from New York. Anyway, Wombat, enough Valentine's Day talk because I don't want to make you jealous anymore. Yes. Last week, well, actually, this has been going on for weeks now, Wombat, and I'm dying with anticipation because a couple weeks ago, Wombat comes to me and he's like, I may have the biggest news ever for the CADcast.
You know, I had almost forgotten about this, and now I'm depressed again.
Right,
let's go on.
I'm sorry to do this to you on Valentine's Day, but... So Wombat is, you know, teasing me with this. He's like, I got this. I could have potentially huge news for the CADcast. Biggest news ever. And of course, I don't want to hear about it unless we're on the show. So last week, the show comes and Wombat says, oh, I didn't hear yet, so I can't mention it. But I should be able to talk about it next week. And next week being today.
Today, yes, now.
So now it's today, and I know that whatever was supposed to be this big news did not come to fruition, but
no,
I don't know what it is, so you got to tell me.
Well, I still probably can't use too many specifics because, you know, you never know what can happen.
Okay.
So I'm going to be cryptic, which may be fun. Who knows?
I like fun.
We'll see. Yes. So I ran into someone a couple of weeks ago, someone of importance, literally on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to him. I've met this person before. It's not like I just said, hey, aren't you so-and-so? And he was telling me about, you know, how he was so glad to run into me because he was just talking about me because he felt that I would be right to help him with the new project that he's working on.
Okay.
Hey, that's what I said. He works for a very large, well-known public relations firm within the Manhattan area in Manhattan.
Manhattan area of Manhattan. Okay.
Go on. Yes. Exactly. So I'm like, great. He's like, tell me what you need. He's like, well, you know, my department is expanding and I think I'm going to need one more person. When can you come in and sit down and talk to me? I think you're my guy.
Meanwhile, you're probably like saying, thank God, because I know you hate your current job. It's a nightmare.
Now, I don't know if I've mentioned it yet, but one of the big three uses this firm.
Okay, so either Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony uses this firm.
Exactly, and I would be working with them on a regular basis.
Okay.
That would have been the cusp of the job, and my focus would be working with video game bloggers, podcast makers, people who are really in the know on the power of the internet.
So basically, you're one of your potential dream jobs, I guess you could say.
Basically, yeah. And, you know, I met with the guy and talked with the guy, and he's like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And he said, oh, and I spoke to everybody in the company, and I passed around your resume, and I want you to meet this person and this person, and it was awesome. And then he says, there's just one more person left I need to talk to. And of course, that's the head of the company.
Right, that's the guy who's going to give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Exactly. And he's like, but he's not here. He's at the Super Bowl. He won't be back until late next week.
Okay, right.
Hence, we had to wait a show. Yep. And so he goes and he says, this is what I want. This is what my department needs. And the boss looks at him and he goes, yeah, I think you're going to get an intern. Because they don't cost anything.
Oh.
And his whole point, the person who is a really awesome guy and really nice, his whole point was that he wanted someone that he didn't have to train.
Right.
Someone that he could say, you know, I need you to comb the internet, find out some information on this stuff, put together a little thing for me and get it to me in a couple hours. But now he has someone that he's going to have to babysit all day.
Right.
Which means his workload's going to double.
And your dreams are dashed to hell.
And my dreams are dashed. So we both kind of got, you know.
The shaft.
Yeah, the shaft and that. So it's not that I have any hard feelings for him or even the company. It just was kind of a big bummer because right. It would have been awesome.
Right. And you would be.
I would have also been working with their other clients as well, which are also some pretty big names, but.
You would have been good in that job because you're very familiar with all the PR stuff that goes around and you probably know what works and what doesn't work. And you could probably talk to people, you know, bloggers and such and, you know, get on their good graces. That's what PR is all about is, you know, you get on the good side of the writers. So you make them feel guilty if they're going to write something bad about your game. But you got to do it. You do it in a way. You do it in a way where it doesn't seem like you're doing it.
Exactly. And on the other side also, it's good. It would be nice, I'm sure, from a blogger standpoint, if they're talking to someone, a PR person that really knows what they do.
Sure. Sure.
As opposed to, you know, someone who, some intern fresh out of college who, hey, not knocking college kids, they're very smart, but who may not really know what goes into what they do all day.
Well, I'm sorry it didn't work out, Wombat. It's,
yeah.
I'm sad for you. And I'm sad for me. Yeah. It probably would have been great for the show.
It would have been really great for the show.
Damn.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have been an intern for them.
Yeah, no, I need to pay my mortgage.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, Wombat. Let's go through a little bit of feedback from last week's show. Another sure. Fantastic show underneath our belts.
See, I think now you're depressed too.
I am a little sad. Yeah, it sounded like a good thing.
You probably wanted to make fun of me, and now you're like,
No. I could tell from your messages that you were pretty sad about the whole thing, so I wouldn't make fun of you for that. Last week's show feedback. Sid Talk. Wombat, you were talking about how you didn't think the Xbox 360 should exist without a hard drive. And
yes.
Sid Talk had this to say. If Wombat wants to know what it sounds like to be a dick, he can listen to himself saying that people who have an Xbox 360 without a hard drive don't deserve to have one. My 11-year-old nephew just saved his Christmas money and has been doing odd jobs to earn enough money to buy himself a 360, and the only thing he can afford so far is the one without the hard drive. It's comments like that one that make me hesitant to encourage the young kids in my life to be a part of the gaming community. He's not mean-spirited and doesn't think he's cool by saying flippant things to pretend to be cool, and I don't want him to start. No, I'm not jealous of Wombat. No, I'm not new to listening to the CADcast. No, I'm not a 20 to 30-something dude obsessed with gaming and or internet jabber. No, I'm not a fanboy, geek, or forum troll. I'm a 40-year-old chick married to a serious gamer web dude. I'm not a fan of Wombat. I always point out his snotty attitude from each CADcast. My husband always defends him. The discussion continues.
At least I have the husband on my side.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think I'm snotty.
Well, I mean, you offended this woman's 11-year-old. You offended this woman by insulting her 11-year-old nephew, Wombat.
Well, I don't insult. I didn't mean to insult an 11-year-old who's working hard to save up to buy a 360. Right. Although maybe he should cut lawns for another month and get the one with the hard drive.
Right.
Because he'll be happier with it in the long run.
Sure.
The point is that the 360 is a better console with the hard drive than without.
Which I think, yeah. I think what you're saying is you're not getting.
And if it comes down to saving your money for an extra month, so be it.
Right. You're not getting the full experience without the hard drive. And it's almost not an Xbox 360 without the hard drive. That's what you're trying to say, right?
Exactly. And I'm assuming you agree with me.
And this 11-year-old is a lazy bum. That's right?
No, that's what you said.
No. That's what you told me yesterday.
Is that what I told you? We didn't even talk yesterday.
Well, except for that. Remember you called me up in the middle of the night and you said that 11-year-old is a real schmuck. Okay. Last week we also talked
don't
about...
Don't give me more trouble. I'm trying to be nice.
Right. We talked about how your wife was mad at me, and now she's probably really mad at me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because of the negative things that I say about you every so often on the CADcast. Sinewave had this to say, I just listened to your show, Cheapy, and while I agree the comments you made toward Wombat in the last show weren't as harsh on first listen, I think the reason Mrs. Wombat is upset with you is not for this comment by itself, but it's more like a straw that broke the camel's back. I think the real reason she's upset is that for the bulk of CADcast number 1 through 105, particularly the newer ones, you always make at least one dig against Wombat and your perception of his contribution to the show. Add to the fact that time Wombat puts into the show is time away from Mrs. Wombat, and this can get old pretty quick, and in Mrs. Wombat's case, downright infuriating. I feel this constantly digging at Wombat is getting pretty old, and you've made your case time and time again, and should give it a rest. While I may be alone in this opinion, I'm of the belief that last week's comments were one too many for Mrs. Wombat, and I hope you attempt to make things right with Wombat's better half. Well, I was hoping to have her on the show this week, but she's got the flu.
Yeah, she's in bed. She's not moving.
You should bring the microphone into the bedroom. But burst in there. So
you want to hear, go away.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, that's basically all you get.
Okay. No, I mean, look, I always speak my opinion, and if I think that Wombat's not pulling his weight, I'm going to say it. I mean, I certainly don't, you know, I don't mean, you know, sometimes I get upset about it, and you can hear it in my voice. Sometimes I'm just poking fun. It's up to you to decide which is going on.
Which is which. Yeah. And yet on the flip side of that, I'm like, I think I've been doing more work for this show in the last couple of months than I have in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that could be true. And, you know, so would I like Wombat to do more? Of course I would. I mean, I think, you know, the more that he does, the more that he puts his sort of personal stamp on the show, the better the show will be. So that's why I prod him in such a way. I'm looking to get the best show that I can out of him and me. And I think the more that we both contribute, the better. That's all. It's not, you know, it's nothing sinister. It's nothing more than that.
Well, you get what you pay for.
Hey, well, look, Wombat, I'm sure, look, you're going to get a check soon. And maybe I should pay you. If I paid you X amount of dollars per show, would you put more work into the show?
Well, that really depends on what that X is now, doesn't it?
I don't know. I mean,
it probably wouldn't, to be perfectly
honest. Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I mean, and then if I pay you per the show, I mean, right now, the agreement that we sort of have...
It would be a weird vibe if you were paying me per show.
Right. I mean, it's actually, to be perfectly honest, my father, who's my he's my chief financial officer, my chief financial officer.
Womp womp.
On the, you know, my business card says chief executive officer.
Yes, I know.
He suggested, actually, that I offer to pay you per show. But, the agreement that we have right now, and I mean, it's not a written agreement or anything, but it's a sort of verbal agreement, is that you get half of any advertising that the show generates. And then, so
basically,
it sort of have to be, you know, we'd have to work something out if you wanted to get paid per the show. I mean, then it wouldn't be fair that you get half the advertising and get paid for the show.
Oh, I see. I would disagree there. You still get paid for the website.
But the website's not the show.
But the show's on the website.
No, it's not. Well, it gets promoted on the website. Nobody would listen to the show if there was no website.
There was no website, I know.
Anyway, so we can talk about that off the air if you want. Or on the air.
Really,
I think you're okay.
I'm okay. I don't want you to pay me.
Okay, good. That makes two of us.
I know you don't want it. No, I think the real reason, though, is there would be a weird vibe where it would kind of be like, well...
Sure.
You know, you're my boss now.
Right.
And I don't want that.
No.
That would be bad, probably.
Yeah, no, I think things are okay, and hopefully we'll get more sponsors and you get more money.
Exactly.
Frisky Tanuki always has some good comments for the show. He says, why does Cheapy have to downplay the importance of the guys leaving GameSpot or other websites that are trying new things, like he's got the most viewed website on the internet? No Alexa rating equals fail. Wombat was right on that subject. Well, yeah, I do mention stuff like that. I mean, that's That's my opinion. I think it's, you know, these, I've mentioned this, I think, two shows in a row. I think that for these big websites, the writers for them are just, you know, they're sort of small fish in a big pond, right? I mean, I don't think people are going to visit these websites for these writers, and I certainly have respect for them, and I know that a lot of these guys are very talented writers, but the fact remains that there's so many people who want to get into the video game industry in terms of, you know, journalism. And there's a lot of talented writers out there, and there's just not that many jobs, you know, that you can actually live off of.
No, you cannot, you know, trust me, if I made even an attempt to live off of what I get for, see, UGO pays me.
Right, but they probably pay you anything.
They pay me enough to cover a bill.
Right. Like an electric bill or something?
Yeah, basically.
So the fact is that there's all these people waiting in the wings to take these guys' jobs. And I'm sure that the people who are waiting in the wings are talented too. I mean, so I think it's tough for a lot of these guys to make an impact. And I don't mean, like, you know, disrespect really, but
like the college intern that stole my job.
Right. Who's not even getting paid. It's just, you know, and if I think that someone starts a website that's not going to do well, I'm going to tell you. I'm not, you know, I think people listen to the show to hear what I have to say and what Wombat has to say. And, you know, I'm not out to offend people, but, you know, I'm here to tell it like I see it. I call it as I see it, Wombat.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, speaking of Alexa rankings, and certainly, like, you know, Alexa ranking is a way that you can tell basically how well trafficked the website is. And is it the most, you know, it's not this, you know, 100% accurate, certainly, but it's really sort of the best that we have to judge how popular.
It's a good barometer.
It's a good barometer. And it's certainly, you know, actually, no, Alexa ranking does equal fail. I'm sorry. I mean, it's, you know, it's not 100% accurate, but if you don't have an Alexa ranking,
it doesn't judge quality.
It doesn't mean quality either. It just means how many people are visiting your website, more or less. And speaking of Alexa ranking, I was sort of looking at how all the blogs stack up.
Yes.
And Kotaku right now is the most trafficked blog.
Really?
Yes, they are number one.
I did not know that.
It goes Kotaku, Joystick. Well, actually, Kotaku and 1UP are, you know, I'm talking about blogs right now. I mean, GameStop, GameSpot and IGN are more trafficked than Kotaku. But Kotaku and 1UP are pretty close. I think Kotaku's ahead of them. The funny
1UP you consider a blog?
No. But I don't. But the interesting thing that I thought when I was looking at this stuff is that you look at, like, these two websites, Kotaku and 1UP, the amount of overhead that it must take to run 1UP.com must be incredible. I mean, think about all the people who have full-time positions working on that website.
And how many at Kotaku? Like, two?
Yeah, I'd say maybe one or two. Probably two that draw full. Maybe even only one. Maybe only Crescente draws a full-time salary. Maybe
a full-time salary.
Maybe two. But so it's just interesting. It goes to show you, like, 1UP has all these different features, like, you know, user blogs and all the podcasts and stuff. Kotaku doesn't have any of that. All they do is they're a news blog. They post other people's stories and their comments around about them. And also they have features once in a while. And I'm not knocking them at all. There's, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. That's their niche. And they do it well, I guess. Yet.
You guess they do?
No, they
it
do.
Well.
Yes, they do it well. You're right. And it's interesting that they're just able to generate more traffic than 1UP that has all this other extra stuff, and they're spending all this extra money to make this website, and Kotaku's beating them. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. Also last week, Wombat, I talked about how I was listening to the Three Red Lights podcast on IGN.
Yes.
They were talking about Blu-ray significance in the console wars. And I mentioned that I had seen this posted on another website, and I decided to listen to it because I normally don't listen to any podcasts, not even ours, Wombat. I listen just to enough to make sure it sounds good, and, you know.
Yeah, well, usually if I even start listening to it, I'm like, I remember this.
And then turn it off. I was there.
I was there.
So it's very rare when I will listen to another podcast, but I thought, I just, you know, the topic sounded interesting to me, and that, so I decided to listen just to that clip. And then I talked about it on last week's show, and I said how I thought I disagreed. I didn't think that Blu-ray would be the deciding, you know, wouldn't you know, result in the Xbox 360's destruction, as they sort of talked about on this particular podcast. And I guess what happened was one of their listeners heard our show, and then they wrote in on their mailbag section and brought up my comments to the show's hosts. So maybe you should roll that clip right now.
Hillary, what do you think about Cheapy D stating on his latest show that he listened to your comments about the 360's demise and thought your reasonings to be silly and non-factual? Hillary, this is your chance to respond to Cheapy D.
Who's Cheapy D?
Well, I think we all know that Cheapy D is a fanboy and that his comments on his podcast are always ludicrous and without factual basis.
Oh, God.
So, Cheapy D...
this is going to start up a war.
Cheapy D, if you want, I'll come on your podcast. Or we could call you up, and we can have you on our podcast. How about that? Because I don't really want to go on your podcast. I don't care about you. But if you want Cheapy D, you can email us, give us your phone number, and the week after GDC, we can give you a call. You can have it out with us.
A little debate.
Of course, on the CAGcast forums, that, you know, resulted in a lot of angry CAGcast listeners. But I think, you know, listening to that, first of all, the guy who wrote in the question, that's not what I said. I didn't say it was silly and misinformed. I said I disagreed with him. This guy is sort of misquoting me. But regardless, I mean, I think you listen to this and it sounds like, you know, Hillary's the guy that's talking, Wombat.
Yes.
Sounds like it's like a joke. He's saying this to be funny, I think. I don't think, I think more likely than not, he has no idea who I am and, you know. Probably never heard of me. And
I don't know if he has no idea who you are.
Okay. Well, maybe he does.
Your site is pretty darn popular.
Okay.
And the question is, was that like a little planned little sketch?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, this is the first question in their mailbag segment. And usually you want to have a good question for that. So certainly I'm sure they were trying to, you know, get a rise out of somebody. And like, look, I don't hold it against them. I think it's, you know, I'm a classy guy, Wombat. And that didn't, you know, I'm not going to start, you know, a war or anything like that.
Well, here's my question for you, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you got an email or someone alerted you that someone said something before you went and listened to the clip.
Of course.
Okay. But what was the first thing you did when someone told you that someone was saying things about you on another podcast?
I said, great. I love it.
And after that, you went and you found and listened to it.
Yes.
So why didn't he go listen to what you actually said?
Well, my guess is, look, they have like, I don't know how many guys do that show, but...
Well, no. If it was important enough for them to bring up on the show...
Yeah.
They don't have to be Fox News about it and not do their homework.
Well, they are owned by the same company that owns Fox News.
I am aware of that. So I think that's really what we have here. It's not so much of who was right, who was wrong, was he joking or was he not joking. Do your homework and listen to the clip before you insult someone.
I did have that. I thought of that too. But I figured maybe there's one guy who's pulling the questions out of the bag. And, you know, the guy who was actually answering the question, Hillary, you know, he may not know what questions are coming. Do you think I should go on their show? They invited me on their show. I mean, I think I should go.
I think you should definitely go on their show.
I'm a whore, Wombat. I will go on anybody's show, and especially a show on IGN. I'm sure they have a substantial listener base. I would love to, you know, try to pick up a few listeners here and there.
Yeah. Don't forget to say Wombat's awesome, and don't forget to plug my blog.
I'm not too proud to go on someone else's show and try to get some more listeners. And
I don't see why you shouldn't.
And I'm glad. Like I don't care what you call me, Wombat, as long as you call me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know if you realize that we would benefit more by you going on their show by him coming on ours.
Probably. Yeah.
No, definitely.
I think so. Anyway, so that's, you know, I bear no ill will.
Yeah, you do.
I feel, you know, look.
You hate everybody.
Let me tell you something, Wombat. If you're a guy and you grow up with the name Hillary, that can't be easy. So I certainly feel his pain, and that may have made the guy a little more angry than your average person.
Did you listen to Stern like 3 minutes before we started?
No. Why?
Because you have some very stern-like inflections.
I do,
going for you today.
I haven't been listening that much, actually.
Yeah.
So look, I will go on the show. Hopefully they'll be nice enough to have me, and that'll be the end of that.
There you go.
On to some CAG news-ish.
Sure.
The Games for the Troops drive is still going strong. You can go into, I'll post the link for all the information so you can send your used games to Iraq so our troops can have something to do besides getting shot at. And it's going very well. I mean, it got, we talked last week. You read that clip from the New York Post. It was also on X-Play. They had a little crawl on the bottom of their screen, and it was picked up pretty much everywhere. So I'd imagine they'd be getting a lot of packages with full of games. I haven't sent mine out yet because I didn't have a chance to get to the post office, but I will. I have the stack right here next to me. We have some contests going on, Wombat.
We do.
Did you pull the winners?
Of course I did.
Okay, so what are the contests?
Oh, that's funny. I just noticed that you didn't remove the ones from last week.
Well,
we're still giving away Wizard tickets.
Okay, for Wizard World LA.
LA, and this week's winner would be Dak Tribble.
Okay.
And we're also going to give away a code for a copy of Res HD.
Great game.
Great game, and that's going to go to Radjago.
Yeah, oh, Radjago. Long time CAG.
Long time cheap ass gamer, so congratulations.
All right.
PM me your addresses, or Radjago, I probably just need your email address. And that's that. Unfortunately, the contest for this week, although Wizard, you could still win a pair of Wizard tickets for LA. Mm-hmm. This week's question, we'll change it up. Who is your favorite villain in the DC universe?
Let me think of any DC villain. Well, Lex Luthor, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count. Let me think if I can think of another one. Oh, any of the Batman guys would count. I don't think I know anybody outside of Batman and Superman.
Well, it's probably like a lot of people, but it's something.
Right. Does Apache Chief have a villain? An arch enemy?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. He does.
The white man.
Giganta.
The white man.
Giganta.
Oh.
And the white man, yes.
Right.
General Custer is the white man.
White man, take my land. Anukchuk.
Anukchuk. And we were supposed to have another contest this week. And unfortunately, the package hasn't arrived from Microsoft yet, so we may have to push it until next week.
All right. No problem. No problem. We need, sometimes you need a little break.
Yeah.
On to the new releases.
Yes.
Okay. CAG 4 Play, breaking it down every week on the CAG 4 Play podcast, The Shipwrecks. Let's see what we got this week.
Did you listen to their show this week, by any chance?
I haven't listened in a long time, Wombat.
I listened to it this morning, and I have to admit that this week's show for them was probably one of their best shows.
Oh. That's, that is CAG 4 Play number 32, for those keeping score.
Yeah, it was really good. They I don't know if there was just something going on, but they kept missing things and they kept having to backtrack.
No.
But it was a little looser than normal.
Oh, loose.
So I think it was probably one of their best episodes. So if you haven't listened to 4Play in a while, pick it up by going to listen to this.
I mean, yeah, they've done a lot of shows already. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. If you've listened, and also if you listened in the beginning and, weren't too impressed, you may want to give them another shot because now they've got over 30 shows under their belt. They probably smooth as butter right now.
Like butter.
Like butter. So what do we got this week for the new releases? Multi-platform releases. We've got Conflict Denied Ops, which we've talked about.
Did you play the demo?
Yeah, we talked about the demo last week. I didn't think it was terrible, but I don't think it was particularly noteworthy either. It is a budget title at $50. Well, not really budget, but $10 cheaper than normal, $50 on the PS3 and 360, and $40 on the PC. But there's demos up on both PS3 and 360, so you can just check that out yourself if you're interested in a co-op first-person shooter.
All right.
What else we got? For the DS, Dungeon Explorer Warrior of Ancient Arts. Oh, it's like a gauntlet-type game, it sounds like.
Yeah. It didn't get a very good write-up in the new EGM.
All right. Next, Jumper. Oh, a movie tie-in.
Movie tie-in. We're going to skip that.
How's that movie looked okay, right? I mean, is the movie out yet?
The movie, I think, comes out this week. tomorrow, we'll say. Today, if you're listening to it today. I believe it is directed by the same person who directed The Firstborn Identity and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay.
So it has that going for it, but it also has Hayden Christensen in it.
Oh, is that the star?
Yeah, Hayden Christensen.
Darth Vader.
No.
Anakin Skywalker.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Yes, he was Anakin Skywalker. Right. He's not Darth Vader.
Padme?
Under no circumstances does he get to be called Darth Vader.
All right. Well, I don't know. I thought the movie looked okay. So it means the game is probably terrible. What else we got? We got a picture of Shipwreck next to a Nintendo and a green television.
Yep.
That's pretty good. Oh, Professor Layton comes out this week for the DS.
It does.
Let's wait for Nintendo to talk about that because I played it. What else we got? Dark Messiah of Might and Magic comes out for the 360. And
are we going to talk about that later too? The download content for that game that was on the marketplace prior to the game's release.
Yes, that is my pick for the shame on you downloadable content. How can you put extra pay content for a game on the marketplace before the game comes out? That is the lowest of the low. You got to have some serious e-balls to do that. I mean, you just don't care what the fans think.
E-balls? Is that what they are now?
E-balls.
Is that did you just make that term up?
Well, there's e-penis. So I figured you can have e-balls too.
You could have a gigantic set of e-balls. Why not?
I mean, you just don't give a shit what, you know, the game community thinks about you if you go ahead and do something like that. I mean, that's pretty low. I mean, we both played the demo for this game and we weren't impressed. So
no,
it seemed like it had a lot of potential, but it was missing a lot of polish. Which,
and by a lot we mean any
polish. So that is that's Dark Messiah, $60 for the 360. Lost Odyssey also comes out this week, $60 for the 360. That is the Japanese role-playing game from Sakaguchi, who's used to work for Square Enix, or Enix.
Squenix.
The reviews have been sort of okay. It looks like it's scoring in the 70s for the most part.
It's on four discs, right?
It's on four discs. If you're into Japanese role-playing games, I think you will enjoy it. If you're not, but I think you will have no interest in this game whatsoever because it looks like your typical yet sort of, you know, well-done Japanese role-playing game. But if you're looking for a new experience, I do not think you're going to find it here.
No.
Anything else that we need to talk about? A Wipeout Pulse for the PSP for $30. A new Wipeout game, anyone? Anyone?
Anyone?
Bueller? Let's see. Anything else? Now, on the DL, downloadable games for the Wii this week. You've got Harvest Moon from the Super Nintendo era. Super Nintendo.
The first Harvest Moon.
$8. Also on the Wii from the TurboGrafx-16, you have Lords of Thunder.
Yeah.
Another shmup, Wombat. Not a schmuck, but a shmup. That is also $8. On the Xbox 360, we've got a couple Xbox Live Arcade games and some, what do they call that? Xbox Originals. You've got Commanders Attack of the Genos, which is $10, and that is I actually tried the demo. It is the trial. Well, I'm mad. They don't like to call it a demo. It's a trial. That is it's a turn-based strategy game. Looked like it was okay as far as you would expect a Xbox Live Arcade turn-based strategy game. Will I buy it? No.
It got a nice write-up on UGO.
I've heard of UGO.
They gave it a B+.
B+. It seemed okay if you're looking for that type of a game. Also, Discs of Tron.
Without a paddle, I just can't see this game being any fun.
Okay, so the last game was $10. This one is $5. I tried the demo, the trial. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I remember playing this game in the arcade, and I remember being terrible at it. It was really hard because you had to use – it had a stick. It had that big stick, right?
Yeah.
And then there was like a dial.
Yeah, then there was the
and
dial.
And the dial spins like the cursor around. And it was very difficult to sort of do both at the same time. It's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time. Or
I'm actually doing that right now.
With the Xbox 360 controllers, I found it a lot easier because you're just using the left stick to aim and the right stick to move your guy. However, I don't think that necessarily means that it's worth $5. And you don't get to see... I hate this trend of not being able to see the enhanced graphics unless you buy the full version. You know what I mean? Like, they hold that... They're holding that out. They used to get that. In the beginning of Xbox Live Arcade, they used to show you the money. But now you got to lay...
In the beginning of Xbox Live Arcade, I actually bought games.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, now... Now you get... Remember, like, back in the day, there wasn't a new game every week? And now it seems like it's sort of being overrun by games. And maybe you're more careful about what you buy because you know there's going to be at least one game coming out every week. In fact, I read an article, and I think it was on Gama Sutra. I'm not sure. They were talking about how it's not as easy to make money on Xbox Live Arcade as it might have been, you know, a year ago. Just because there's so many games coming out now. That people are more picky. Things get lost in the shuffle.
Well, have you heard the N plus, we'll call it controversy, whether there really is or isn't?
What's the controversy?
Well, their complaint is that they were told they can't announce their release date because Microsoft is afraid that if you know that you want to buy N plus for $10 next week,
you won't buy this.
You're
week's.
Not going to spend $10 for a game this week.
I mean, Microsoft always says the reason they don't want people announcing the stuff ahead of time is because they're not really sure. You know, the release dates aren't set in stone. You know, things are, you know, they're always in testing and stuff. I thought you're allowed to say
it's called the priority queue.
I thought you're allowed to say it a week in advance.
Yeah. I think you have to wait, though, until after the next, you know, this week's games.
Okay.
Are
well, that's interesting. But, yeah, I mean, the marketplace is getting crowded.
Yeah. Definitely. And you can get bumped by a larger company.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So, that's the Xbox Live Arcade games. The Xbox Originals this week are all $15. Black, Ninja Gaiden Black, and Sid Meier's Pirates Black. No, not Black. Black Pirates. Sid Meier's Black Pirates. Yo, shiver me timbers. Yeah.
I can't believe you. I'm like, he's not going to do this.
Oh, he's going to
do it.
Really
isn't. And you did. I don't know what to say.
Yo, don't be looking at my parrot like that. I'll bust your face in. Anyway, I'm not buying any of these. How about you, Armand?
I'm just waiting for the podcast where someone does Jews Living in Japan Pirates and makes fun of you.
That's fine. I like that. I would like that game.
You would, wouldn't you?
No, I'm not buying any of these games. It's tough, I think, and a little bit unfair to ask somebody to not only spend $15 on these games, but to basically set aside a big chunk of their hard drive on these games as well. They'll take up like 5 gigs, don't they?
I don't know.
I think they do.
I haven't downloaded one. I have no intention on downloading one.
Okay, that's the new releases for this week. What can we talk about next? Wombat, you are on a roll lately, and you were at an event that was held by Electronic Arts in New York.
That's right. This week I didn't do nothing.
Well, right. You were busy learning about the Electronic Arts 2008 lineup.
I did. I learned a lot about the Electronic Arts 2008 lineup. Some very interesting things, which I will share to you now.
Now.
Let's see. What did I play? The first game I played that I thought was really, which was a surprise to me because I didn't think I'd like it. Battlefield Bad Company.
Oh, okay.
The sequel in the very popular Battlefield game series comes out this summer. Mm-hmm. I think sometime in late May, early June.
Now, the first one, the one for Xbox.
Yes, I played this was the 360 version that I played.
Right. I'm sorry, the original one, I mean, the first version for consoles, I mean, not the one on Xbox, the one on Xbox 360, wasn't very impressive.
No, I didn't love it, and I, you know, was expecting it to be more of the same.
Okay.
they've changed it around, and they actually gave it a plot. They basically, what you are is you are a soldier in a nondescript war with your ragtag group. It has kind of a Dirty Dozen feel to it. Mm-hmm. And on your mission, you discover gold, and that there's gold hidden throughout the war.
There's gold out there in them there war.
Exactly. So now, instead of looking for the bad guys, you're really just looking for the gold.
Oh.
Where you're sort of an anti-hero.
Now, this is the single-player campaign, I'm sure.
This is the single-player campaign, yes.
Is there not an emphasis on multiplayer? Usually the Battlefield
there is,
series.
No, there's a very large, you know, the same 12-on-12 with vehicles, vehicular combat as well.
How are the graphics? Because the first one, the graphics were a little lackluster.
I was impressed with the graphics. What I was really impressed with, and I know you're going to be impressed with this too, almost completely destructible environments.
Ooh, I like that.
So if there's a guy shooting at you with his big, you know, chunky machine gun, you could just take a grenade and toss it at the wall mm-hmm. of the building, mm-hmm. and the whole wall just blows up with the guy right behind it.
Oh, so then it's like, surprise.
Exactly. I was standing, and you'll see the video next week. It'll be up on UGO next week, where I'm in a house, and instead of going out through the door, I just blow a chunk through the wall.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Walk out that way.
When is that coming out?
That comes out this summer. I mean, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun just blowing stuff up. And if you could blow it up in real life, it'll blow up. And there are red explosive barrels everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So you shoot a barrel next to a house, half that house is going up.
Okay, cool.
So it was really what was fun about that. And, you know, other little things also in the same vein, if you know that there's an enemy behind the wall, and it's a destructible wall, you just have to shoot the wall. Eventually, you'll kill them through the wall.
Gotcha.
So, not bad. Not bad at all. I also got to see some of the gameplay footage for Facebreaker.
That is their arcade-style boxing game.
It looks like a next-gen version of Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, which is what they're trying to do, I think.
Yeah, which, you know, could also be very successful, and they were, you know... let's hope it is, because who doesn't like a good, fun boxing
game? I am interested in that game solely because I believe it has a very in-depth create-a-boxer mode where you can put your face in there.
Yeah, they weren't very forthcoming on any details.
Okay, that's what I think I read that somewhere, and I, you know, being the whore that I am, I like to put myself in all the games.
Bald guy.
Yes, I'm the pale bald guy.
I guarantee you, even if you don't make
a pale bald guy.
There'll be a bald guy for you.
Okay.
So don't worry about it. I think you're covered.
Okay, what else did
you see? Or not. I got to see Spore.
Oh, yeah, Spore. How's that looking?
It looks good. I mean, I got to really see a lot of the character creation.
They show it to you on PC?
On the PC, yeah. They showed me the PC version. Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't really officially announced the 360 or a PS3 uh-huh. version, and according to the producer at the show, one of the guys who was making the game is Alex, I believe. There are currently no plans.
Oh, okay. I thought that there's a DS version, right?
There's a DS version and a Wii version, but they haven't started doing anything for the... Not that they wouldn't want to, they just haven't started yet.
Okay. So that, I actually read an article about that and watched some video about Spore. It looks pretty interesting. I'm not sold on it yet.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard. It's got a excuse me, a little bit of Pokemon to it. It's got a little bit of Tamagotchi to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it just make a creature and kind of raise it? What else is there? Is it going to be, you know, is that fun? Does it get old quick? Those are my fears with that game.
It's coming out for Mac, so this could be the first Mac game that I buy.
It is coming out for the Mac, so if anything, you'll be able to play it on that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
What else?
I mean, it looks great. I just don't know, you know.
It's a tough game to describe, I think, too.
Exactly.
What else?
I did play... I played Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks. That's the Steven Spielberg game for the Wii.
That is this... Yes, it is. I got to play that for a good amount of time, too.
Let me guess. It was better than you thought. No.
Better than I thought. When you see the video, I am the worst Boom Blocks player on the planet Earth.
You can basically fill in the blank on that one. I am the worst blank player.
Hey, what about Carcassonne, my friend? That's all I have to say.
Okay,
okay. They shut you up quick.
So it was okay? I mean, it's...
It's definitely okay. It's fun. It has a great, you know, vibe to it in the sense of, you know... of a casual game? Is it better than a lot of other casual games I've played? Yes.
It's 100%, it's like Super Jenga, though, right?
It has basically, yeah, there's a big stack of things, and what you do mostly is throw baseballs at the tower to knock out the pieces.
Oh, okay.
You don't pull, you throw. I see. And how hard you move your wrist is how fast the ball goes.
Uh-oh, I see. I can see a lot of broken TVs and black eyes.
Exactly. It is like the antithesis of yeah, exactly. There's going to be TVs with Wiimotes sticking out of them all over the country. Uh-huh. And it's a very good, it looks good. For, you know, it's a vibrant game, lots of colors. Mm-hmm. The characters are kind of cute. Mm-hmm. The creator level has great potential. And multiplayer was fun. I played multiplayer as well. So cool. This game, what I would really think, if this game really wants to be huge, they have two choices with this game. This game is either going to sell really well or it's going to be huge. If they release this game at a budget price,
yeah,
huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Hmm. And I asked them, I said, has this even come up? And, the lead producer copped to saying that it's something that we're talking about.
Right. Well, according to GameStop right now, it's $50 coming out in May. So we'll see.
We'll see. I think they should lower it down to 30.
Yeah.
And then they really have something.
Sure.
Because I just don't see it. I don't see it as a $50 game. I don't think there's enough meat to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for $30, it might be the best bargain on the console.
Cool. Anything else mm-hmm. you see there?
I saw the new Sims game, Sims Castaways.
Oh, how's that?
Part of the Sims Stories line. It actually has a storyline to it. And I have a copy of that.
Okay.
That they gave me. And really good empanadas.
They didn't show, no mercenaries, huh?
No, they did not have mercenaries on display.
Wow, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I know. It was a little.
And that's it? No other games?
That's why they had Bad Company. They had, you know, a Burnout. Yeah, I think you know about Burnout.
Yes, I do.
And they had the EA Sports quiz show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see, you're already bored.
Did you meet any of our friends there?
Not really.
No?
Yeah, we were there late. It was going on all day.
Oh,
and
okay.
We went after 5.
I see.
Everyone was pretty much gone. It was basically us. Huh. I met Rusty's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How's she?
Not bad. Hmm.
Cool. All right, Wombat, on to Nintendo.
Why not?
Okay. Professor Layton came out for the DS this week. Professor Layton and the Curious Village. It's a game that's...
Now, you've played this.
Yes, this is a game that's been out in Japan for, I think, at least a year. But it's now out in America for the first time. And it's a very interesting type of game. It's a puzzle game. There's no question about it. This is a puzzle game, but around the puzzle game, there's an adventure going on. So basically, you solve puzzles to sort of advance the story, and the story is told through some rather nicely produced cutscenes, animated cutscenes. And the game has a very polished look to it, and very nice, you know, very well produced. The sound is really good, the voice acting is really good. But what it comes down to it is, do you like solving puzzles and puzzles like that involve moving matchsticks around, math puzzles and things like that. If the answer is no, then this game is not for you. If you do if you do like those types of puzzles, then this is a very well produced package that you should check out. But for me, I don't know. These puzzles tend to make my head hurt. It's like a little too much thinking. Like if I'm squeezing out a deuce, like, you know, I don't want to see like which matchsticks I have to move around to make these 3 cubes into 2 cubes. Like that's not really my definition of fun. But it is pretty cool, and it is a good portable game. It does work very well in the portable format because you can save anywhere, and you know, if you have a puzzle that you don't like, you can just quit and, you know, select some other puzzles that maybe you didn't solve yet. But it's nice, and it's been getting good reviews. So if what I've talked about sounds interesting to you, then you should definitely check it out. If puzzles make your head hurt like it does to me, then definitely skip it, because what it comes.
I am definitely interested in this game. I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it up the weekend.
It's a nice package. It's just it is puzzles. It's the game is all about solving puzzles, and not like your typical video game puzzles. I'm talking about like the puzzles that you find in magazines and stuff.
Yeah, I've been playing on the train. You know what I've been playing on the train lately on my DS?
What's that?
The Sudoku.
Yeah.
Cuckoo for Sudoku. I've been playing that on the train because you know it comes with Brain Age.
Oh, right. It's in part. Right. Brain Age 2, right? No, the first one.
It's part of the first one. And I started playing in the newspaper, and I'm like, wait a minute, I have this on a DS cart. Why am I bothering with paper? Like a loser. Yeah. What kind of loser uses paper?
Right.
So I've been playing that on the train all week.
Well, you'll probably like this then. I mean, this is probably a good train game.
Yeah. That's really what I need. I need good train games.
But it does make very good use of the stylus, the touch screen, because a lot of these puzzles, you're moving stuff around. And it's a good product, I'm going to say. Lick writes in, he says, hey, Cheapy-san and Wombat-chan, what do you think of the hype surrounding Super Smash Bros. Brawl? Do you care? Do you give a shit about things like new characters and the final Smash moves? Do you think it's an overrated franchise? Cheapy, did you personally witness the fury of this game's hype in Japan, and did you see any coverage of the game's release on the news there? Much manly love. Regarding Japan, I mean, yes, the one thing I have witnessed personally is that the game has been pretty much sold out everywhere until like the last couple days. I've finally just been seeing it in stores available for purchase within the last day or two.
Any reason why you didn't pick it up?
To answer this guy, to Lick's first part of the question, I'm not really that into this game. I don't have friends to play with locally. And this is the type of game where, you know, I think it's four guys in a room. You know,
but it's research for the show.
I know, but I
you do nothing for the show, do you?
I don't feel like, you know, I have a Japanese Wii, but I don't know. Then I got to hook it up, and I figured I can just wait. Like, what am I going to say? I mean, you already know. We talked about this before. You know that I'm not really into this game, and I've watched people play it. I mean, they have kiosks set up at Toys R Us near me. Rather, kiosk. I haven't played it yet because every time I've gone there, and I've gone about three times now, there's always like 5-year-olds playing it, and it would just look really awkward for me to pick up a controller and play with the 5-year-olds. But I have, I'll tell you this, in person, I've watched it being played in person, and the game does look very impressive graphically. It's very colorful. The stages are crazy. And even the adventure mode looks like it's pretty meaty, and like they put a little bit of time into it, actually. Personally, no, I don't really care about new characters, final Smash moves. Yes, I do think it's probably a little bit overrated. However, I could see, like, if I was in college and, you know, I could always have people in my room to play with me, I would probably really like this game.
I'm going to play it on Tuesday, so...
Okay, cool. So we'll talk about it next week. Wombat is...
Yeah, I'm going to play it on Tuesday night, and I'm very much looking forward
to
it.
That's the other reason why, as I knew you were going to play... You told me you were going to play it soon, so I could have bought it, and I just don't... You know what the problem is? I just don't have that much time to play games these days, and for a game that I know it's probably not going to interest me that much, and I'm not going to be able to take full advantage of what it has to offer, didn't make a lot of sense for me to put in the time to pick it up. An effort.
Gotcha.
I'll leave that to you, Wombat.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Also, Nintendo news. There's an analyst, Evan Wilson from Pacific Crest Securities, says that he thinks Nintendo's going to come out with a new console before 2010. Because 2010 is probably going to be the year that Microsoft comes out with the next Xbox. Because, let's see, they launched in 2005, so that would be 5 years, and that's pretty much what the cycle has been lately. He thinks Nintendo's going to come out with something before Microsoft this time around. This is also the same guy that said that there's a new DS redesign that's already sort of on the books, but they just haven't started making it yet.
How does he back up his claim?
I don't know. He may have some inside scoop, but I you know what? I agree with him on the DS thing. I think absolutely Nintendo's going to release another version of the DS. It's just, it's so popular, the DS. And there's so many people who already own so much software for it that...
What would you like to see different on your DS?
There's not much, really. Like, I know they can make it thinner. One. If they made it thinner and lighter, which is obviously the, you know, the that's the obvious answer.
Yes.
You know, the rumor is they're going to take out the GBA port, which is fine with me. I don't play any GBA games on there. And
I do.
They'll be, without that, they'll be able to make the whole thing thinner and lighter. You know, a better screen, I guess. I don't know. Can they make the screen bigger? Will the games look worse?
Well, do you think maybe instead of a bigger screen, maybe a non-folding where it almost looks like it's one screen, kind of like an iPod Touch?
Oh, connected, you mean?
Yeah.
It would need to be folded, though, I think, because it would be too big otherwise. It needs to fit in a pocket.
Like, look at your iPod. Do you think the screen in your iPod, if you were to slice that in half, that the bottom and the top of that is big enough?
No.
No?
No. No. If you take the two DS screens together, it's definitely bigger than an iPod. But I think, I don't know, I think it will sell really well, and they'll be able to make, to bang out a new, at this point, they should be able to bang out a new DS and be able to sell it, like, you know, for the same price that they're selling at the DS now, you know, and then drop the price of the lights down to, you know, $100 or something. But I think it makes a lot of sense. I wonder what direction they would take for a new console, though. I mean, that could be pretty interesting. We'll see.
We shall see.
On to Sony Wombat.
High definition, sure.
Big news for Sony. This is pretty amazing. Sony, the PlayStation 3 outsold the Xbox 360 and the DS in January. It was very close. They didn't outsell the Wii. The Wii had 274,000. And the Nintendo PS3 was 269,000, and the DS
That's
was
very close.
251,000, and Xbox 360 was, and the PSP tied at 230,000. So that is big news for Sony. Microsoft sent out a press release a couple of days ago saying how they, or maybe it was earlier today, that they have some supply problems with the 360. That they were unable to meet demand, and maybe that's them just covering their asses, probably. But
it's a very interesting number that really they're all basically hovering around 250,000 units.
Yes,
sold.
It's not, certainly nobody was blown away, but that's very encouraging news for Sony.
There's a lot of consoles sold in the month of January post holiday. Mm-hmm.
And also some good news for PS3 fans. Do you remember, I guess, was it the last show or the show before? I was defending myself against PS3 fanboys who were saying that I was biased against the PS3. And I was trying to say that, you know, the Xbox 360, I looked up on Metacritic and it said that the Xbox 360 had the most best reviewed games. Well, I don't know if somebody heard us talking about that or it's just a coincidence, but somebody on...
Matt Matthews.
Yeah, Matt Matthews, the man with two first names.
Yep.
Went and averaged together all the review scores for all the systems. And it turns...
I like this chart a lot. It's a good chart.
Turns out that the PS3, if you average all the games together, all the review scores, has the on average, the best review scores.
Yes.
With the GameCube being second, the original Xbox being third, Xbox 360 fourth, then PS2, then Wii dead last by a lot.
Yeah.
Significantly.
The average review score is 64%.
Yes. Significant.
The average review score would be a 64 or a 6.4 or
yeah, right on.
I guess that would be a D.
Don't get into that. That's bad. We're not allowed to talk about that.
Yes, I know.
But I thought that was interesting. Maybe it's because the PS3 doesn't have that many games, or maybe they just they don't have that many bad games.
Well, you know, a lot of it also there's a lot of reasons for this. And
a lot of the games are multi-platform.
A lot of the games are multi-platform and they're good. Also, the PlayStation 3 is an expensive console to develop for.
So people aren't going to put out shovelware for it.
Exactly, which is what's killing the Wii score.
Mm-hmm.
because the Wii is easy to
right,
develop
people
for,
just take
so you
a
get
shit.
A lot of crap. Exactly.
Take a shit, put it in a box and a sticker on it, like, hey, it's a Wii game.
Exactly. Yeah. Shit Flinger 2008.
Yeah. So, okay. So I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to mention that.
And I think that's maybe one of the best boons of the PlayStation 3, is that because the console requires effort to develop games, chances are games that come out for it should be a higher quality product.
Okay.
So there.
There was some information spotted on the PlayStation website that hinted at the in-game messaging was coming soon. Basically, yes. They mentioned it as a feature, and there was a little screenshot of it. Or a graphic promoting this feature.
It says, friends in messaging. Talk to others during gameplay. Say hello anytime you're online or have a video chat with an eye camera, USB camera, or headset.
Right. So this is a hint, basically, that the cross-media bar access during games could be coming soon. Perhaps it'll be announced at GDC, which is next week, Wombat.
Well, you know, here's the question. If that was implemented onto your PS3.
Yep.
Basically making it almost neck and neck with the 360.
Almost, okay, maybe.
Would you start buying more online games for your PS3, knowing that you can, in the middle of a game, go in and invite friends over and start doing, you know, the things that we take for granted on the 360?
At least it would enter my mind as an option, as now it does not. I don't even consider it an option. But then if this stuff starts coming together, you know, and with the addition of Home... You know, hey, then we got something to talk about. And if they can, you know, Sony could potentially have a really good GDC next week. I mean, they're coming off this great, you know, the story how they beat out the Xbox 360 this in January. They can announce maybe a home beta or an actual launch date for Home and the cross-media bar stuff. You know, now we're talking. Maybe they start announcing downloadable movies. You know, they have the potential. Sony is not that far away from really blowing out the PS3 in terms of the feature set. But it's been slow going. It's been over a year already, and a lot of these features that we'd expected to see at launch are not there yet. I don't know why they're dragging their ass, but it's been slow going.
Yeah, at least the consoles work.
Hey, that's a big thing, too, most certainly. So we'll see. I mean, it's, like I said, they're not that far away from really, you know, blowing out the feature set on the PS3. It could just be a week away before we start seeing all these things that we, you know, really we should have had on day one. But hey, you know, let's not get crazy. So hey, it could be, we could have something to celebrate pretty soon.
It'd be very nice.
And maybe even a price drop is coming soon because they announced that the PS3 processor has they've been able to shrink it down to the 45-nanometer process, which should make everything run a little cooler and be a little cheaper to develop. And they could have a smaller console because of, you know, they don't need the fans and stuff to keep everything nice and cool. So... hey, this could be the start of some big momentum for the PS3, you know, and with some big titles coming out like Metal Gear Solid and Little Big Planet, this could be the start of a big roll.
Yeah.
Or not.
I think, you know what I think would be a great trick for the PS3 to pull off also is if they could get something like Spore as an exclusive and tie it into something like Little Big Planet.
Or Crysis.
Yeah. That or Crisis,
yeah,
exactly.
We'll see. I mean, that's
that yeah.
It needs. It could.
There's
use,
a lot out there.
It needs some more exclusives. That's true too.
Yeah.
Speaking of exclusives, Netflix has announced that they are going Blu-ray exclusive. So no longer will they be renting HD DVDs, only Blu-ray. Which is it? Just seems like the news gets worse and worse for HD DVD. And Netflix and all the other Netflix news, there was a survey they sent around to their members, asking them if they would be interested in having access to the Netflix library through their consoles, through their 360 and PS3s. Because right now on Netflix, you can stream movies off their website. You don't have to actually wait for the disc to come to your house in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be pretty cool. I think everybody, I mean, who wouldn't want that? But it seems weird. Like, I would imagine that, I don't know. It seems like Sony and Microsoft would probably much rather sell you the movies themselves to download, but maybe they're going to get a cut or something. Who knows? Also in PS3 news, a couple of demos out on the PlayStation Network. MLB The Show 08, the baseball game, is out. And Patapon for the PSP demo is out as well. I actually remember right before the show, Wombat, I said I was going to go take a shit.
Yes.
I did take a shit. I didn't lie. But I also spent a few minutes playing the MLB Show demo.
Oh, how is it?
It's very impressive, I think. I mean,
So you did download it onto your PSP?
PS3.
Oh, your PS3. So you played, you keep the door open.
No, I didn't.
I'm trying to figure out how you played this.
No. After I took the shit, I went into my living room. And I played the PS3 demo of MLB The Show.
Because I'm picturing you with the bathroom door open, leaning out.
It doesn't work that way. My apartment's not laid out that way. But the graphics are amazing. The animation seems really good. And granted, I only played for literally 5 minutes. But I was impressed, and it seemed like pretty easy to pick up and play. The presentation is really good. It really looks like you're watching a television broadcast of a baseball game. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into the demo, Wombat. You should check it out, and maybe we'll talk about it next week. I know neither of us are big baseball fans, but it looks pretty cool, so it's worth checking out. You didn't try the Patapon demo yet, did you?
Well, I just downloaded it. I got it onto my PSP about 3 minutes before we started recording. Mm-hmm. So I will probably play that, if not tonight, tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. And I am looking forward to playing it, though. It looks like it looks like it's going to be a great game. I'm very excited to actually start checking it out. But at least I finally got to use the Media Manager software on my computer.
Oh, how's that?
My PSP Media Manager. Well, I downloaded it. They do sell it in stores for $30.
I thought it's free now. No.
No, you can download it on the Japanese PlayStation Store.
Okay.
For free.
Oh.
So when you go to the store, just say you're in Japan, uh-huh, and you get the Japanese site, and it's the same program, it's the same software, it's even in English.
Oh.
But instead of spending $30 for it, it's free.
Actually, is this the Media Manager Pro? Because I'm looking on the Sony website. It looks like they're charging $17.
No, that's the Pro. That's what you can do after you already install your Media Manager.
Oh, I see. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, because I have it. It has it on my Media Manager. It says upgrade to Pro.
Oh.
Which I don't know why I'd want to do that, but...
I thought it was.
It is pretty cool though, because it also recognizes all the songs in my iTunes library.
Oh, that's cool.
So I can just drag all the songs I have if I want to put music into my PSP. It's really easy.
Interesting.
As well as pictures and videos that I have just randomly, so I can load the thing up with pornography if I really wanted to.
I never did that.
Nah, me neither. But I could.
If you wanted to. Okay.
If I wanted to.
On to Microsoft.
Yes.
Fans of Call of Duty 4. Which is so huge, one of the biggest, they sold more copies than Halo, I think, at this point.
I have to give a shout out at this point to my roommate from college.
Okay.
Who, using a coupon from Cheap Ass Gamer, finally picked up Call of Duty 4.
Excellent. Well, there's a patch coming soon that's supposed to fix a lot of the issues that people have been having, including new kill cams. Host migration, if your host quits, the game won't dump you.
Oh, that would be nice.
And it's going to fix, I think, the biggest problem that a lot of people have. Oh, there's new spawn points, and it's also going to fix the problem with the scopes, the sniper scopes and the ACOG, ACOG scopes, which is good because I use the ACOG scope. That's what I like.
Yeah, I usually use the red dot scope.
And there's some more views for Spectator, so we got that to look forward to. This next thing I'll wait for the CAG bag for. There was a report claiming that there was a study done on the Xbox 360 failure rate. And this particular report put the failure rate at 16%, saying that 16% of Xbox 360 consoles have failed. Microsoft said it was about 3%. And I don't know, Wombat. I read this thing, and I think it's bullshit. I mean... Is there any chance in hell that the failure rate is only 16%?
No, it's got to be like 75. Yeah, it has to be.
I'd say it's...
I can't imagine it's lower than that.
I think there's 16% of the 360s don't fail.
Yeah.
Exactly. I could believe. But to say that only 16%, I mean, that's crazy. I mean...
I built ham radios in summer camp that were better built than the Xbox 360.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just to me, it's I don't know. It can't be. It cannot be. I mean, everybody I know who has a 360, which is a lot of people, because I know people on CAG. Almost everybody I know, it broke. They at least broke one 360.
Even you.
Even me.
And I've gone through two.
There's no way it's 16%. No chance in hell.
If so, then I know all of them. I know everybody who's seen 360. That's why we're so skewed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only 16%. That means I know 16% of all 360 owners.
Well, that's all I had for Microsoft this week. Did you have anything else? You've been playing more Devil May Cry?
I have been playing more Devil May Cry. I decided that's why I haven't played Call of Duty 4 in a while, is I really wanted to put some hours into Devil May Cry before I started really talking about it. And I have some impressions, mixed impressions. Mm-hmm. On Devil May Cry. The game looks great, and it moves great, and there's nothing broken about the game. Here's my problem with the game. A lot has happened between Devil May Cry 3 and Devil May Cry 4. A lot of games have come out. Mm-hmm. Some great games of a similar style. Mm-hmm. The two games that come to mind, of course, are going to be God of War 1 and 2, and Ninja Gaiden Black. And Ninja Gaiden, yeah.
Or Sigma or whatever.
And you look at what those two games were able to do, and it makes you wonder why they didn't implement those things into Devil May Cry 4. And this actually may lend itself more towards the Microsoft version and not so much the PlayStation version, because one of my main problems with the game is I feel like the action stops very abruptly at times, and there are some for a load screen. Where it will just stop, and then it says, now loading, and you have to sit and you wait. And then it'll go into a cutscene that you don't care about. And then you have to, then it'll say, now loading again, and then you finally might get back into the action. They have these points throughout levels that look like they might be save points, but they're not. They're just like upgrade points.
Hmm.
But you can't actually save at those locations. You can't save until you finish the level, which sometimes can be frustrating if you don't want to sit there for an hour and play a level.
Yeah.
There's a lot of backtracking.
It sounds like the pacing is a little off.
The pacing is completely off. There's no flow to the game at all.
See, God of War, they nailed that.
Exactly. God of War did it better than any other game of its type I've ever played. The pacing is phenomenal. In this game, the pacing is just, it always feels off. And there's no sense of epicness like there is. Is epicness a word?
Yeah, sure. It is now.
It is now, like there is in God of War. The boss battles just don't feel impressive.
Yeah. No, yeah, from what I've seen, like, and what I played from the demo, it seems certainly like a fine game, you know, but...
It is, exactly. It's fine, but
They haven't really tweaked the formula enough to make me interested in it.
Exactly. But the pacing and the flow is just so off in the game, where it's just this constant start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, that you never quite get into playing the game.
To me, it seems like a really good rental, and probably that's about it.
Yeah, I think I put a good maybe 4 or 5 hours into the game at this point, too, and it just, I don't know if I want to go back.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
So let's not go back, let's move forward to some game shopping news.
That was terrible.
No,
sure.
It was great. What are you talking about? I'm professional on that. Big thanks, of course, to Speedy 1961, who has compiled the weekly ads for next week, starting February 17th, running to February 23rd. Here are some of the best deals that you can get over at Target. They have Rock Band, the special edition bundle for the 360 and the PS3, $149. So that's some nice, I guess like $20 of savings right there, right?
Yeah, I need to pick up the drums.
Oh, yeah? The drums aren't out yet, though, are they?
I think they're supposed to come out this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Also, they have a lot of games over at Target with free that come with free $10 gift cards. I'll run down real quick some of the big ones. Heavenly Sword, Unreal Tournament 3 for the PS3. Turok for both consoles. Call of Duty 4 for both consoles. Assassin's Creed for both consoles. Mass Effect, Lost Odyssey, Halo 3. Devil May Cry for both consoles. MX versus ATV for both consoles. And SmackDown versus Raw for both next-gen consoles. So $10 gift cards. Also, if you're interested in a PS3, you get a 40-gig system with a free $40 gift card over at Target. So that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Circuit City's got a big sale going on for, I think, for President's Day. A lot of cheap next-gen games. Spider-Man 3 for the 360 for $15. Same with Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Pimp My Ride for $7.49. I'm sure you're all over
it's
that,
still
Wombat.
Probably not worth it.
Spider-Man Friend or Foe, you might be interested in that one, Wombat, for the 360, $20.
I am interested in that for $20. There's a slight chance I may buy it. There's a rumor that I might be able to get it cheaper sooner.
Okay.
So,
you mean for free?
I may hold it off. No.
Oh.
Not for free. No, it may actually be cheaper sooner than that.
Oh. What do you mean? What does that mean?
Well, the rumor is Target may have it cheaper in a couple of weeks.
Oh, how do you know?
So, hey, I have my sources.
Also, Soldier of Fortune is also $20 at Circuit City for the Xbox 360.
And, I like that game.
Well, you should get it. You already have it.
I have it.
I'm
letting people know
that you like
that.
It.
I like. If you like first person shooters that are more fun than good, then you're gonna like this game.
That's like Call of Juarez to me. Like it was.
Yeah, exactly. It's the great B movie of first-person war shooters, and it is so bloody, it's hysterical.
Okay. Also, World Series of Poker Tournament of Champions is only $10 for the 360, and it looks like all the Guitar Hero bundles are on sale too, but nothing too exciting. On to Kegs on News, Wombat.
Kegs on News, stirring up controversy.
Yes.
Tags on you.
All right, Wombat, the first item we have here is that EA has extended the NFL exclusivity license till February 2013. That's a big extension.
It is a big extension. The real question is, do we care anymore?
I don't care because I don't care about football. But let's see. Well, Jolly Dwarf had something to say about it on the CAG forums. He said, "I accepted this as an inevitable when they first signed the deal back in 2004. EA and the NFL's boring play at Uber safe ass were meant for each other. Good on Darth Sternius for not allowing his league to follow suit." Who is that? That's the basketball guy, right? David Stern? See, I know stuff about sports.
There you go, a little bit.
A little bit.
Well, that is a big problem with the NFL these days, is that they really have a stranglehold on licensed products where they have to project this very clean, family-friendly image, which maybe the games have suffered because of. Who knows? The other thing also is, I mean, Madden in general, it just hasn't been great in a while. It was a great game, I guess, 5 years ago, six years ago.
It's so stale.
And it needs to do something. There needs to be some sort of oomph put back into Madden. And the thing is, I still feel that EA could do it. That's what's even worse. Like, I'm like,
why
that,
not?
That
of course,
girlfriend
they can do anything.
That just keeps going back to that jerk of a boyfriend. I'm like, you could do it. You can make the good game that we want.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Yeah.
Also in the news is there's a new Knights of the Old Republic game coming from BioWare.
Excellent.
Which is something that we're all looking forward to. On the CAG forums, Cool Steel says, as long as it's not pawned off to another company to screw up like KOTOR 2, I'm all for it. Yeah, I played KOTOR 2. I don't think I finished it. I think I got really far in it, and then I was like, you know, I don't even care. But
which happens.
D-Mall 1114 says, awesome. Hope it gets a combat system like Mass Effect with lightsabers thrown in. What do you think about that, Wombat? Would you like the next KOTOR game to really basically just be Mass Effect with Star Wars?
I thought Mass Effect was.
Well, they don't have the license. They don't have the Star Wars license.
Yeah, but it basically is. Sure. Why not?
Yeah,
what are they going
to
do?
Yeah, I don't think I can go back to that KOTOR-style combat system after playing Mass Effect. I love the combat in Mass Effect. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It just needed a better autosave system.
They'll probably find something in the middle.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because I think you can. I don't see why you can't make it work with lightsabers. I mean, why not?
Yeah, definitely.
Also in the news, Wombat, which publisher's games do you think get the best review scores overall? Don't click
Acclaim?
They're not even, they didn't even make the list. Well, okay.
You tell me.
Okay, Nintendo is number one.
Yeah, it doesn't
first party Nintendo is number one with a 75 average. Then Sony with 74. Then Take Two with 73, and then EA with 72. And surprisingly,
wait, how could the average score be 70? Shouldn't it if a score goes between 1 and 100? Shouldn't
score.
All their scores average scores be 50?
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that THQ is right behind EA with 70.
I know. That surprises me. I mean, I didn't realize that Bratz games and SpongeBob games were so well-recepted.
No. And Ubisoft is down at 65. Anyway, enough review scores, Wombat. Let's get
Microsoft at 70.
Yep. Let's get right to the CAG bag, Wombat, because we're running out of time. And I'd like to get to a lot of questions today because there's a lot of good ones. Always a lot of good stuff in the CAG bag, Wombat. J-Raf wants to know what we think of the new game Frontlines Fuel of War. He says, being a big shooter fan, I'm quite excited with this game. They claim to have over 60 vehicles, 32-player multiplayer, dedicated servers, and destructible structures like Battlefield Bad Company. I also heard somewhere they have a map the size of Saints Row and custom classes like Call of Duty 4. Blah, blah, blah. What do you guys think? Is this a Call of Duty 4 killer or just another shooter with unnecessary features? By the way, CADcast is the best podcast out there. Keep it up, guys. Okay. They did just release a new multiplayer demo on the Xbox 360 for this game. So they had a single-player demo and a multiplayer demo. You didn't try the multiplayer one, did you?
No, I have not. I've been tending to the misses.
It's okay. You don't need to make excuses. I'm just asking you a question.
I
tried it out. It's not bad. It certainly looks like it's fun. I do not think it is a polished game like Call of Duty 4. I think...
Who makes it?
Wow, is it THQ? No.
I don't know. I'm asking you. Come on.
I don't remember. Now I got to look it up. It's, yeah, THQ is the publisher.
They're
the publisher. The developer is Chaos, I think. I wonder, maybe they're the developer too. I don't know. Listen, Wombat, the point is this. It doesn't seem to be... It seems like there's a lot of room for Battlefield Bad Company to be much better than this game, from what I've heard from you. The destructible environments didn't seem really noticeable from what I've played in the demo.
I will say in Bad Company, you're just blowing the crap out of everything.
See, that sounds cool to me. I think Battlefield Bad Company is going to be better than this. But Frontlines comes out at the end of this month. I don't know when Bad Company. Would you say Bad Company comes out this summer?
Summer.
June.
Yeah. June.
So that's, I don't know, I think probably I would hold off on Frontline and wait for Bad Company and see which one you like better if you're looking for a big multiplayer game with vehicles. Pelf21 says, hey guys, my wife and I are taking a trip to New York in April, and we want to know if you guys can recommend any restaurants, cool shops, video game shops, any cool places to go, and what's the best, of course, he wants to know what the best place to get some pizza is. Well, this is where I shine, Wombat.
Oh, okay. Where do you go to get the best
pizza? The best pizza in New York City is they have a few different locations. It's called Patsy's Pizza. That is the name of it.
You like the thin.
If you like the thin crust with the fresh mozzarella.
With fresh mozzarella, you're all about Patsy's.
You're all about, it's Patsy's Pizza, not Patsy's Restaurant. It's called Patsy's Pizza. There's several of them.
Yes, I've been there.
It is awesome. When I finally make it back to New York, I'm going to eat there every other day, at least. It's not a slice place.
You're not
going
to send them to Virgil's?
What's that?
You're not going to send them to Virgil's?
Oh, we went to Virgil's and got those big fries. But no, I recommend that place. In terms of video game shops, I don't think
there aren't any.
I don't think there's any independent video game shops anymore. I mean,
no. There is a really cool store though. On its wait, wait, 29th or 30th. Mm-hmm. I forget. 30th. 30th. Between 7th and 8th. Called, I think it's Anime Express.
All right.
And they have lots of cool, like, Japanese video game knickknacks, lots of Mario dolls.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and stuff like that, and some replica swords.
There's also a Tokyo, there's a store called Tokyo Toys, Tokyo Toys?
Toy Tokyo.
Toy Tokyo in
which
East
is,
Village.
Which is on 2nd Avenue, right off of St. Mark's Place.
Yes, you may want to check that out. Just write Wombat at PM, and he will personally take you around New York, buy you dinner.
And if you're going to go down that way, you're going to want to grab a slice of Two Boots pizza, if you're going to be down by Toy Tokyo. Right. And if you want to go for, like, the real experience, you go, you get yourself a cone of French fries at the Palm Frites place.
Oh, that place is awesome.
And a slice of pizza from Two Boots, and you have that, and you sit down and have that for lunch. Because that would be...
That is
And
good.
If you really want to be awesome, grab a shake and a burger from the Shake Shack.
Yes, that is good, too. Okay, enough of that. Just PM Wombat. He'll give you a personal tour of New York, take you out for dinner, and let you sleep with his wife. If you're good.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, why not?
Why not? Okay. Milky Man wants to know, how come CAG Foreplay scores GoDaddy as a sponsor, but the CAGcast gets no love? Actually, GoDaddy contacted me, and I sort of recommended that CAG Foreplay, go with CAG Foreplay, because I thought that the Shipwrecks put a lot of work into that show, and I want to see them get some money. So I just hooked them up. That's all. I'm sure we could do it,
now
too.
Now we have no sponsor. What's that about?
What, that we don't have a sponsor right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll work on it. You can work on it, too. You got a lot of connections.
I actually sent out some emails in that vein this week.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Scion of YS wants to know, I was wondering who wears the pants in the relationships in the House of CheapyD and the House of Wombat. I'm going to say for me... definitely Mrs. Cheapy's calling the shots most of the time. Even when I'm right, I'm wrong. So I don't know. I mean, it's not worth it. You know, it's just not. I don't know. I let her have her way all the time because.
I think a smart husband knows when to pick his battles.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is only like 1% of the time.
Yeah, it's just because, look, but at the end of the day, what it comes down to is you're getting into the bed with this person, and they're either going to be mad at you or not. So why push the issues? You know, I choose my battles, but I would say most certainly Mrs. Cheapy, especially since we're in Japan and she's got to take care of any serious business. She definitely wears the pants in the family. What about you, Wombat?
Sometimes it could be even a healthy mix, but then again, I'm the one who spent the entire weekend painting the bathroom.
Right.
So I lose automatically on that one. And I cook most of the dinners.
Yeah.
And I drive the car all the time.
Yeah.
And I pick up stuff.
Yeah.
And I always have to, we have a dehumidifier in the basement and a humidifier in the bedroom, and if I'm not filling up one, I'm
yeah, I know.
The other.
I'm all over that too. Well, you'll see. So, you'll see, Scion, when you get married, or maybe you're married now. You know, shit gets all flip flopped on you.
Yeah.
Miyamoto Freak. We read that. Oh no, Miyamoto Freak wants to know if you could have a AAA developer like Insomniac or Infinity Ward make one superhero game. What superhero would you base it on? No Justice League or Marvel Universe bullshit. He wants one hero, Wombat.
One hero? Well, I've talked about this before, the game that I've always wanted to see, and that would be the perfect Batman game, which would be kind of a Splinter Cell.
So you'd rather have Ubisoft make it?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying Ubisoft would make the best Batman game, but it would have that stealth, maybe a little bit of a Condemned feel as well, where it would be kind of scary.
Yep.
Survival horror. Capcom could probably make it well, too.
A good Superman game would be pretty good, too. I mean, the EA...
That's a good Superman game.
The EA one had potential, but they really just decided, I think, to make it, you know, not put that much
money into it. There have been a lot of good superhero games. Well, a lot of superhero games with good potential, but no one's ever really just
the Hulk.
Hit it.
Yes, the Hulk.
The Hulk.
The second Hulk game, they hit it.
Even Spider-Man, the Spider-Man games, they're all close. The best Spider-Man game is still the first one on the
PlayStation.
First PlayStation. Yep. Yeah.
The Hulk, what's it? Ultimate Destruction is the name of the awesome Hulk game. And you know, that same, the Vivendi, shit. What's the developer for that game, Wombat?
Yeah, they're making the new one.
They're making the prototype. The game's called Prototype, and they're using the engine on that they used for the Hulk. And you're controlling like a guy with superpowers. It's not based on any license. It's an original IP, but that game looks awesome, and it's going to have co-op like Crackdown. So it's like you're in a huge world, and you can have two players, you know, at any place, any location in the huge world. That game looks really cool. Damn, that's bugging me that I can't remember who made that. Anyway,
yeah, it'll come to you later.
Who cares? Let's see. Frisky Tanuki says, with all the hubbub you've created over review scores, I was wondering if you've enjoyed any games that weren't exactly critically acclaimed. If so, what were they? Yeah, absolutely. I find this all the time. If you remember Genji for the PS3, I thought that game was fine. Like, I don't know why it got panned so bad. Was it, you know, the second coming? No, but it certainly was playable, and I thought it looked very pretty, and, you know, I definitely enjoyed it. Call of War.
Cameo.
Cameo got kind of a bad rap.
I think that game was great. I still think that was a great game. I mean, if you haven't played it, if you have a 360 and never picked up Cameo, now it's like dirt cheap.
There's so many games like that. I don't even think I could list them all. Chrome Hounds. I had a lot of fun playing Chrome Hounds online.
Soldier of Fortune Payback.
I think a lot of times, especially with games where the primary fun to be had is online, the review scores can't really accurately take that into consideration, because these guys are playing, they're reviewing the game when like the servers aren't even up yet. So like maybe they can just sample it online, but they never really get like the full experience. But there's so many games like that, and that's why you shouldn't really pay attention to the review scores, you know, all that much, and just look, you know, the text of the reviews are really what's more important than the scores, I think. Or, you know, don't be afraid to rent a game that you think that you might be interested in, even if the review scores weren't that good, because you can find something that you would be interested in that you didn't think you would be. M. Price says, I recently picked up the Genesis collection on PS2 after Wombat's recommendation, and I am really impressed. I wondered what are Cheapy and Wombat's thoughts on the best and worst game compilations. I think for a recommendation, I don't know if this is backwards compatible. Well, actually, it's on the PS2 also, so it would be backwards compatible, but it's also available for Xbox. They have Midway Arcade Treasures. I believe there's three different versions of them.
I'm pretty sure it's not backwards compatible, because most of the games you could buy on the arcade.
Right. I would check out believe there's two. There's three different collections. The first two are the good ones. The third one was very light. But I would definitely. There's a lot of good classics. I mean, I'm looking at the box right now. You got Spy Hunter, Two Defenders, Gauntlet, Two Jousts. Clack, 720 Degrees, Marvel Madness. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on there. It even had Xbox Live leaderboards. Those are one of my favorites. In terms of bad ones, I don't know, because I wouldn't get the bad ones.
The Atari Retro Collection for the DS is pretty awful.
Oh, you know what? Oh, speaking of a good Atari, is the Activision.
The Activision Anthology is really good. I was just holding that in my
hand. That is for the PS2. That is really good. It's got some really cool things. You unlock like classic commercials and stuff for a lot of the games, and you get the patch.
The Phil Hartman commercials.
Yeah, for Ice Hockey by Activision. Yeah. That's definitely something to be picked up. And I believe that is also on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, I'm going through some of mine right now. I have there is an Atari Anthology. I have that on the Xbox, which I believe is backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And that has Asteroids on it and Centipede. Okay. Oh, I didn't realize that.
There's a lot of good ones. I mean,
Missile Command is on that, as well as Battlezone and Tempest and Millipede and Super Breakout and Yars Revenge and Warlords. And, you know, this is probably now like a $12 game for $40 worth of arcade games.
You can pick
games.
These up cheap used now for probably nothing. I mean, something to definitely look into. Yarbo's got a question. He says, he wants to know what our first video game that we've played is, or our earliest gaming memory. He goes on to say, his earliest gaming memory is the hours it took his dad to figure out how to hook up the NES to his old TV when he was four. I mean, I got started really young, Wombat. So, I mean, the first games I played were Space Invaders and Pong in my basement. My dad bought this thing called the Telstar Ranger, which was basically like a home Pong game that you hook up to your TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it had... You know, it had like four different versions of Pong. They called it like, you know, hockey, tennis, handball, whatever. It was all just Pong, but, you know, it's just
was
different.
Is that the brown one?
It was,
it has, like, sliders on the side?
No, it had paddles. It had like dials, spinning paddles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the paddles could come out of the machine, too. You could hold mm-hmm. them. They were attached by wires. It even came with a light gun. There was a skeet shooting game that came with it, which was the whole game, literally, it was a white box that just moved around the screen, and you shot the gun at it, and that was it. That was the whole game. But that was definitely something that was one of my earliest gaming memories. Playing Space Invaders in the arcade definitely was pretty exciting. That bum, 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 bum. That was pretty cool. What about you, Wombat?
Combat was very big in the Wombat household when I was...
For Atari.
Yeah, but a Wii One. Yep.
Yeah, that
Combat
was cool.
For the Atari 2600 was huge in my house.
Yep. Yeah, my friend had it. I didn't have an Atari. My friend across the street did, my friend Brett. And I used to go to his house and play Atari with him. Definitely Combat was pretty money.
Combat, yeah, that was a big deal. And I guess that would be the big one. Then there probably is a gap between that and
the arcade boom. What about the arcades?
Arcade-wise, games that I really enjoyed in the arcades, definitely Space Invaders. There was a little luncheonette by my house growing up that had Space Invaders. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was like a little kid.
Yeah.
So I used to play that a lot. Donkey Kong and Popeye.
Popeye, I remember Popeye.
I loved the arcade. Nintendo's Popeye
yep.
in the arcade. Was awesome.
No, I spent a lot of times in arcades.
Those were the best graphics ever.
Yeah, it was good. And it had the music, too.
Yep.
I spent a lot of times in arcades. I used to love going to arcades when I was younger. I mean, the Nathans, both the two Nathans in Long Island, the shopping malls, Roosevelt Field and Sunrise Mall, both had arcade games. Do you remember the arcade in Penn Station? Do you remember that one?
No, I don't think I was in Penn Station often. Oh. Your father worked in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Mine didn't.
They had an awesome arcade in Penn Station. It was like so high tech. They had machines hanging upside down from the ceiling. They bolted machines to the ceiling and hung them upside down just for looks, just for aesthetic.
For show.
What was it? It was called Time Out, I think was the name of the arcade. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty shady. Like you could... I remember later going there when I was older, and this was probably right before it got shut down. I remember some guy trying to sell me a watch that he told me that he just stole from Macy's. Or no, he bought on a stolen credit card. He showed me the receipt. Okay.
Nice.
One or two more, Wombat, then we'll wrap it up. Brendan Duggan says, "Hey, Chibi, I was just wondering about your new iMac. Do you like it?" He said his father just recently purchased a black MacBook. And he wants to know if I like the Mac better than the PC, and is it worth the money, and or should he keep saving for an iMac or go with his original plans and buy a PS3? And then he says, to you, Wombat, Captain America is the shit. Yes, I did buy an iMac recently. I have a 24-inch, 2.4 gigahertz iMac with 3 gigabytes of memory, and I have to say I love it. It's the best computer I ever bought by far. I mean, it's so fast. The 24-inch display is beautiful. It's like the best display I've ever seen. I highly recommend it. Yes, it's very expensive. I understand that, but I just love it. It runs completely silently. There's no fan noise at all. So now when I record the podcasts on this, previously on my PC, I'd have to go back and do noise removal on the fan noise because it was so distracting when you listen to it. Now I don't have to do that at all. I have to do it for Wombat's audio, but I don't do it for my audio. I highly recommend the iMac and the MacBook. I have a MacBook too. I think that's great. I am totally off Windows now. And I've never been happier in terms of my computing. I wonder what took me so long. That's my only regret, Wombat. So I love the iPod, love the iMac. I everything, Wombat. That's what it's all about.
And I'm going to add this since even though it's not really related, but he is a comic book reader.
Uh-huh.
For all those out there that have been disappointed with the most recent Spider-Man issues, you should. I highly recommend reading Nightwing, the new Nightwing series. That it's not new series, but a new writer picked up the comic book in the last two issues, starting January and February. Mm-hmm. And he's taken the character in a new, completely new direction. And it's a lot of fun and reminiscent of the glory days of Spider-Man, actually, in many ways. Hmm. So I would go and pick that up.
Very nice. Well, I think on that note, Wombat, we should wrap up the show.
Sure.
Because my throat is killing me. I have a cold, Wombat, and a sore throat.
Okay.
I think I'm done. Okay. So I just want to remind everybody to dig the CADcast at dig.com/podcast/CADcast. Review us on iTunes, please. Oh, there was something else I wanted to mention, and I didn't write it down, and now I can't remember what it was, Wombat.
It must not have been very important.
No, I think it was. God damn it.
Don't worry about
it. Oh, well. Oh, well. Then listen to CAG Foreplay, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for listening.
Gamesblog.ugo.com.
Oh, yeah, gamesblog.ugo.com. If you have a job, if you're in the gaming industry and you have a job for Wombat, he's very talented. So hook him up.
Definitely, yeah. Help me out here, people.
Peoples.
And, peoples. Peoples.
Peoples. That's it, man. We'll see you. We'll see everybody next week. I guess we'll be reporting on GDC. So hopefully we'll have a lot of news. I mean, there should be a lot of news.
Big show next week.
Big show. Big show. Peace.
Bye.
Don Mallard, captain of the U.S. video game team.
When I'm not going to high scores in the arcades, I'm home playing games on my Atari 7800. As an expert, I like the 7800 because there are great arcade hits like Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong Jr.
Adventure games like Impossible Mission, sports games like Hat Trick and Real Sports Baseball, action games like Desert Falcon and Karateka, and the 7800 plays all the 2600 games.
As a consumer, I like the 7800 because most games cost under $20.
The Atari 7800, the choice of the experts.